Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. Let's start off with roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
I am here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
All right, all here. That's great. All right, public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair.
You want me to run out and play audio?
There is no public in the audience, so we'll close public comment. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to our legal counsel, please.
Thank you, President Steele, board members. The board is now adjourning in a closed session regarding action items D1, D2, D3. There's no further announcement. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, so let's...
Yeah, I'm going to turn it on right now. Okay.
I'd like to return to open session. At this time, I turn over to council.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board has reconvened from closed session in a special meeting regarding agendas items D1, D2, D3. All five board members were present during the entirety of the closed session. There is no reportable action at this time. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. At this time, we'd like to adjourn the meeting and we'll resume our general regularly scheduled meeting for 7:20.
Wait. It is time.
Carol?
Yes, sir.
Nina doesn't work at Safeway anymore.
She works at the Brentwood one.
I never see a truck here anymore.
Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Town of Discovery Bay. At this time, I'd like to open the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. And you all stand with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
I'm present.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
All right, thank you very much. At this time, public comments. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There's going to be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, I'd like to open public comment, please. All right, I see no public comment, so we will close public comment. Mm-hmm. I'd like to turn it over to staff for presentations.
We don't have any presentations.
Okay.
You're doing good. I'm sorry.
Did I say that out loud?
Any director's comments? Director Simon, please.
Yeah, look, I just want to give a report, the committee report.
All right.
The budget committee met on May 9th, Wednesday. And at that meeting, Farron Perez, our landscape director, gave a presentation of the past and upcoming budgets and what we should be looking for, what we spent, and what projects we have in the works. That's pretty much covered the entire meeting. All five committee members were there, including Director Tatro and myself.
All right, excellent.
Thank you very much.
Sir?
Yes, sir. I have a couple of reports to give. The 7th of May, I went to the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting where they discussed the alternative to Measure S not passing. And the alternative to Measure S not passing is that we would go from 43 full-time fire men of different, whether it be a chief, an engineer, or a firefighter, because those are the three levels that they have, to either 27 or 28 to cover our whole district. Measure S is $197 a piece, and the models they're looking at is either a 3-3 model or a 4-2+ model. And what that means is that if they go to the 3-3, well, the good news is that Discovery Bay is on the table for whatever model they choose, our station here. That's the good news. The bad news is, even if Discovery Bay is on the table, even if Discovery Bay is on the table, the way that the system works with the stations is it's a move-up system. So they're probably not going to be here if something happens anyway. They're probably going to be filling in, backfilling at another call, or going out with their engines. So basically, I'm going to submit this report, and it has some concentric circles that show what the different plans are and that go into more detail on what those plans are. If anybody's interested, it'll be available at the town office. And I don't know if we're going to put it up on the website or not. It's up to staff if they want to do that. It's kind of a lot to put on. But anyway, so that's where we are. There was no general statement about whether with regards to the Measure S, although there's been a lot of phone banking. You'll see some lawn signs out there, and really the bottom line is that it's $197. I don't think anybody in the district is exempt from having their property insurance. I mean, their property insurance increased by at least that. So, if you want to make it a matter of principle and say, hey, it's a busted system, and I don't want to support the measure, then you'll pay more and get less, or you vote for it and you take 48 firefighters over 24 firefighters. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I also went to the Contra Costa County Aviation Advisory Committee meeting on Thursday, May 10th. The things of interest for Byron are that on September, the meeting will be held at Byron, and also that the new Jet Center has a grand opening coming up on the 24th of June, where the Patriot Guard, there was 30,000 feet of new hangars built over there. And there's going to be a grand opening at those hangars posted by the Patriot Jets. And the public is invited RSVP through their website. That's all I have.
Any comment? No, thank you. All right, I just encourage the public to make sure they're watching their water usage. I still see a lot of runaway sprinklers and water going down the gutter system, so the public could do a better job on setting their water usage to non-peak hours would be great. At this time, we're going to move forward to the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 New business. Number one, appointment of board members to district representative committee positions. Is that?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is being brought to you this evening because at the last meeting, Director Tetro requested to be removed from the committee and to be replaced by Director Madison. And so that action is on there this evening if the board is so inclined to move forward with that recommendation.
Any public comment? Community Center Committee? I want to thank Director Tetro and the efforts. I know you've been working on Community Center for a long time, and I'm looking forward to getting some more progress on that this year. So thank you for all you've done so far.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that after 12 years, I'm ready to take a break. So I make a motion that Director Madison take my place as the secondary person on the Community Center Committee.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Staff, please, number two.
Yes, this item is before you this evening. It's an annual item. It has to do with the Ravenswood Improvement District Landscaping and Lighting Zone number 9. This is asking for authorization to prepare the engineer's report. Staff is recommending that we utilize Herwood Engineering to prepare that report. The amount is for $1,200. This is consistent with what they did last year and also prior years. And if you have any questions regarding this, staff in fairness here, and we can certainly address any questions you may have.
Kevin?
Nope.
I'll make a motion that we,
I'm sorry, public comment? No public?
All right. I'll make a motion that we approve, adopt 2012-09 and direct UIT Engineering to prepare the report.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item number three?
Item number three, the agenda report indicates May 16, 2011. That's obviously May 16, 2012. Typo there, but the item this evening before you is the consideration of the fiscal year 2010-11 draft audited financial statements. Mark Croce and Pauline Sanguinetti. How'd I do?
Good.
Are here this evening to present to the board the findings of the draft audit from the FY 10-11 fiscal year.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's make sure the mic's on.
And up.
This is the management's discussion and analysis. This is a narrative summary of what happened during the year. There's some financial highlights. You'll see that the district's net assets decreased by $749,000 over the prior year. This includes a $31,000 decrease in the governmental activities and a $718,000 decrease in the business type activities. Your governmental activities, just as a refresh, is your community center, your general fund, and your lighting and landscaping zone 8 and 9. And your business type activities are your water and sewer funds. Also, you'll see that your total liabilities were $842,000. Most of those were current. As you go down, there's an overview of the financial statements. It goes through and explains to you the difference between government-wide financial statements and fund financial statements, all this accounting lingo. So if you flip to page 4, you'll see this is kind of a recap of your balance sheet, showing you your current and other assets and your liabilities and net assets. So at the end of the year, in your governmental activities, you had total net assets of $3.6 million. Your business type activities had $38,477,000, so a total of $42,118,000. You'll see that decreased from the prior year approximately $750,000. Turning to page 5, this is your revenues and expenses for the year. It compares last year's to this year's, your 2010 to 2011. Your charges for services decreased slightly from the prior year. Your total revenues decreased slightly from prior year. That's due to primarily your charges for services going down. Your expenses are up slightly, primarily due to some more water and sewer expenses. So your change in net assets for the year was $749,000. Again, your net assets at the end of the year were $42,118,000. Turning to page 6, this is just kind of giving you a graph of your expenses and revenues during the year. And this is for your governmental activities. So your lighting, landscaping, zone 8, 9, and your community center. Most of those revenues are property taxes. Turning to page 7, this is your business type activities, your water and sewer activities for the year. You'll see revenues from investment earnings decrease. That's about 49%. That's due to the increase in the interest rates. Water and sewer charges decreased. Your expenses increased primarily due to some more depreciation, repairs and maintenance, and contract services and payroll costs. Turning to page 8, this again is a narrative regarding your governmental funds and proprietary funds, and also goes through your capital assets. On page 9, there's a table here for your capital assets for the year, for your governmental activities and your business type activities. You'll see that your total net capital assets, net of depreciation, was $34,477,000 at the end of the year. Pretty much the same as the prior year. There wasn't any huge additions during the 2011 year, so you had some more depreciation coming into play. So that completes your management discussion and analysis. Then on page 11, this is your statement of activities, so your balance sheet. I won't really go into this too much detail just because I kind of went over it through the management discussion and analysis. So I'll flip to, I would like to highlight the statement of cash flows for the water and sewer. That is on page 18. And this is your cash in and cash out for the water and sewer fund. So it just shows you what's actually been paid out and come in, the money that's come in. So you'll see your net cash provided by operating activities was $590,000. And you had net cash used in non-capital financing activities. This is basically a transfer to another fund of $5,100. And then your acquisition of capital assets was $710,000. You had interest income of about $5,500. Now, this is just in the water and sewer fund. This includes the lighting, landscaping, 8 and 9, or community center. So your cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year were $5.8 million. You see that your cash and cash equivalents decreased about $119,000. Turning to page 19, this is your notes to the financial statements. There was not really any major changes to your notes during this 10-11 year. The only thing that changed was in reference to GASB 54, which is in regards to the fund balance on your fund financial statements. So they just basically changed the language and how they classify the fund balance. So that's a new, it's part of disclosure note A, and that is on page 24. So on page 24, you'll see where it says fund balance. That goes through and explains to you the different categories of the fund balance. They basically made more categories in order to put it into different buckets. So that's the only thing that changed from the accounting standard side during the year. All the other note disclosure, note A is pretty much the same as last year. Note B is your cash and investments. This just breaks out, you know, the deposits you have with financial institutions, the money you have at the county treasurer, and then your other investments. And it breaks it out by type. Note C is your note receivable. This is the Proposition 1A money that was borrowed, and it should be repaid back by June 30th, 2013. This is not new. This was in your statements last year also. Note D is just interfund transactions. This transfers in and out between the different funds. Note E is your capital assets. Just goes through and gives you a table of the breakout of depreciable capital assets and non-depreciable items for your governmental activities and for your business type activities. 33 is your deferred compensation plan. The district now has a 457 plan, so that is a required disclosure. So that is actually, that one is new from last year. Compensated absences, this is also new due to the fact that this in the 2011 year There was an accrual made for vacation that wasn't made in the past because it wasn't significant enough to record. So we felt that it should get put on the books at this time due to the increase in staff and going forward. So that is a new note disclosure this year. And note H is your joint powers agreement with SDRMA. There's no changes there. Note I is the listing of the board. And then note J is just a general contingency note. And that's it. Does anybody have any questions regarding your draft financial statements for the 2010-11 year?
Yeah, with regards to note G.
Yes.
Then am I to understand that staff vacation continues to accrue indefinitely and at some point can be cashed out? Or is it a use it or lose it policy?
I believe that isn't the policy, there's a maximum accrual amount.
The maximum that an employee can accrue on the books prior to losing it, so just use it or lose it, is 160 hours,
okay.
Which is generally 2 years.
So this will reach a maximum average number and not go any higher then. That's what I'm trying to get to.
And,
okay.
We do not at this time offer employees the opportunity to sell back vacation. It
understood.
Is currently an unfunded liability in this case. It's not, the board could choose to fund it or they could choose to maintain it as an unfunded liability.
Okay, thank you.
Mark's gonna go over one of our of the letters that you guys also have, hopefully, in front of you.
Thank you very much.
Well, says, a letter from
no, these are some other letters. So in your package, you should also have a draft correspondence that was directed to the Board of Directors.
Mm-hmm.
This is our required communication to the Board of Directors regarding the audit. And it should start with, we have audited the financial statements, and it says there's an underline that says significant audit findings. This letter is required when we present to a public agency or boards that have audit committees. We need to tell you, this essentially started out as an idea of giving people a report card on their financial reporting, but what it's turned out to be is just our report saying, what did we find and how did the audit go? And what we're finding is in the qualitative aspects of accounting practices, did we find that your staff or people were trying to skew financial results to, you know, achieve a certain end result? And we're pleased to say that answer is no. I mean, we came out, everything was as it should be, things were looking very good. We also want to let you know that there are estimates embodied in the financial statements. And one of the major estimates we have is allowance for doubtful accounts. Now, we don't like to think that people aren't going to pay their water bill or pay other bills that are owed to the community services district, but we do have to estimate if there are any outstanding accounts receivable that would not be collected. That estimate is included in your financial statements. We do have to let you know if we had any difficulties that we encountered while performing the audit, and we're pleased to say that we did not encounter any significant difficulties with management in performing the audit for the CSD. Corrected and uncorrected misstatements. We are required to let you know what journal entries that we make as part of the audit process. We did not determine any of these to be something that was a significant deficiency or anything like that, but we're required to let you know. And there is an entry of $225,000 that was made to adjust fixed assets. There was an entry of $1,182,000. We recorded your depreciation expense for the year. So as part of the service we provide as your auditors, we also maintain a depreciation schedule to calculate that for you. That is very typical for government agencies your size. Lighting and landscaping, there was a $24,000 adjustment to cash just in reconciling the account that was made, and there was $143,000 of accounts payable. These accounts typically come from information from Contra Costa County. It's cash basis. We have to report accrual basis, so those accounts payable are, of course, something that will be an adjustment that we will have to make. And then again, accounts payable in the lighting and landscaping zone 9. Do we think any of these adjustments were something that was outside the ordinary or something that is unusual? No, but we are required to report all material journal entries to the Board of Directors. We have to let you know if we had any disagreements with management, and there were none, so we are pleased to let you know that.
management representations. We have a management representation letter out to your management that is signed and returned to us. So we're letting you know that they will make those representations. We're also required to let you know if management was consulting with others, public accountants, in an effort to what's called opinion shop, you know, say, hey, this guy says he'll put this here and make it look better. You know, hey, why don't you do that for us? We did not find that management was doing that. And we have to report to you also other audit findings or issues of which there were none. So this is a very good report to be able to give to the town. I mean, this is not something we always find in every government agency. There's many times where there's other things that would get reported here. So this is a very positive report. Beyond that report, I also want to let you know last year and in the past, you received a second letter, which was a letter where we had identified a weakness in your internal control relative to financial reporting, in that internally you did not have someone on staff that prepared your financial report or was able to review the financial report with an accounting background. And we are pleased to let you know this year that that letter is no longer a part of your package. You have made staffing changes that have now included staff that are able to work with us through the financial reporting process and provide the expertise to review the financial statements and the related note disclosures that are prepared. So that letter has now been removed from your financial reporting package, which is another very positive outcome. So we really want to thank the town of Discovery Bay. We enjoy working with you guys. You have wonderful staff, it's great to work with, and people who are really trying to do what's right from a financial reporting standpoint to get everything we need to move forward. So we want to thank you there. And the other thing I just want to comment on, just in general regarding the district, you guys are a very fortunate district in a way. I mean, we don't work with a lot of districts that are as young, maybe, as this district is. You know, we're getting a lot of education these days about, you know, some major changes coming in legacy costs to entities such as probably the fire district that is looking at, you know, pension liabilities that are very expensive and some major changes in financial reporting that is going to cause them to have to book those liabilities. This district, because of its age probably, does not have a lot of those legacy costs. So you guys are in a very enviable position in the governmental accounting world as far as moving forward. So that's just a general comment regarding working with this district that is very different in what we see with other government agencies, both in Contra Costa, San Joaquin, Sacramento County. But does anybody have any questions or anything we can answer before we leave tonight?
Mm-hmm. Where is it? On what? Is it on page 11? When you say your estimate for
accounts,
what is that? Is that listed under due to other? No, where is that listed?
That is actually embodied as part of the accounts receivable, so you will see it on page 11.
That's where I was.
Just net of allowance for doubtful accounts. We don't necessarily disclose the exact amount of the allowance, but that allowance is embodied. So if you were to look at under your business type activities.
I'm sorry, I missed. Okay, I'm with you. All right. Yeah.
Right. There is more than $334,000 of total accounts receivable, but we estimate there's going to be a small percentage that would be uncollected.
Yeah, if you look on page 16, Kevin, you'll see that from
that
the proprietary fund. It shows you net of allowance of doubtful accounts of $36,905.
What did we have last year?
I'll tell you that.
That's a good question.
We may have that ready now. 16 is actually on your fund-based statements. We'll give you the detail, but we can take a look at.
Is that what you've estimated, or what we actually lost?
That's what we estimate. What you actually lost is actually going to flow through the actual bad debt expense account. What you have been losing has been less than
I'm
that
sorry.
Amount.
That's right.
But
we lost that.
It was the same. It didn't change.
Didn't change.
I believe it is one effect of the property owner.
Yeah, it's primarily from one.
It's primarily from one. You do it by a percentage.
We look at some, there's part of it that's specifically identified because you do have one property owner that's an issue. The rest is just a small estimate.
Yeah, we just kind of take a percentage.
Okay.
That's
good.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Details.
I'm good, thanks.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys, but we would need now, I think management would be sent, would be an approval. Management would be sending back their representation letter. We would be filing our financial report with the state, this financial report for you with the state controller, and that will complete the financial reporting process for the year.
And the county treasurer.
And the county treasurer goes to both.
We need a motion.
I've got a point of question.
Sure.
I think we need the board to adopt the final document, and that would be at our next board meeting.
That would be perfect then.
Okay.
Just 1 second. Any public comment or questions?
If I may frame the motion for you,
yes, sir.
Sure.
Direct the auditor that there are no comments or suggestions from the board, and direct the auditor to issue the final report.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. That will be done.
Excellent. Thank you.
I will. All right. Can I want, before we move on to the next item, I want to thank Pauline and Mark and their crew for working with us this year. Again, it was a pleasure to have them here. They blend in well with staff, and they obviously work well with Dina. So we're happy that she's here working with them, because as I've told you before, I can't balance my own checkbook. So.
All right, Jim.
And it sounds like we need to acknowledge our management team for doing a wonderful job this year.
Yes, that's exactly my point. Thank you.
I appreciate it, too.
All right. Did
I don't know what that was.
And thank you, Dina.
Yeah, it's a bit of all, Jim. Don't miss one.
Yeah.
All right, item four.
Item four is before you this evening. As you know, we had a cemetery sewer overflow back in 2009 in July at the Lake subdivision. That overflow resulted in a fine to the district of $231,000 in what's referred to as an administrative civil liability. The district and the operator at the time do have funds in escrow. And we are working with Southwest Water on that. And this action before you this evening is to authorize staff to pay $241,000 pursuant to the administrative civil liability order in the amount of $231,000 for the Lakes incident, and for an additional $10,000 for to satisfy the number of smaller events that took place over the last 3 years. So staff would recommend that the board adopt this evening. For the public's information, when we received the tentative order back in March, it came to the board as part of the correspondence. We posted it to our website as well. And so we received the final order at the end of April, and we are bringing it forward this evening so that we can get this satisfied prior to the deadline date of, I believe it is May 20 something.
Okay.
Or another. I don't remember the date.
Any public comment, questions?
All right. I would move that we authorize payment of the administrative civil liability fee that's been imposed upon us by the California Regional Water Control Quality Control Board.
I second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The legal will keep us advised as to how that legal battle is going with Southwest North.
Collecting that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, we're out of time.
All right.
All right.
Bernie.
Hello, Bernie. How are you, buddy?
Bernie. Yolia, please.
Before Bernie gets here, I've asked him to do a little show and tell for us this evening, so he's got some things we're going to pass around. Don't open the bag and stick your hand in, but go ahead and...
Do you bring cupcakes or anything, Bernie?
See what it looks like.
No. Nothing like that?
And that'll feed into my report here. I can knock the report out now, go in more detail what I have. report. We continue with our safe work habits. We're up to almost 950 days, almost 40,000 work hours without a recordable incident. We continue our safety program. On the water services, we continue on the improvement side of we replaced a valve in Newport, did some troubleshooting at various at the water sites, communication issues. We had two brown calls this in April, but they were both in the resident homes. Our water production is going up. You see, we produced a little over 76 million gallons of water in the month of April. Summertime's coming, a lot more water usage going on. On the wastewater side, we did some repairs to our solids dump truck. We repaired the UV bank at plant 2. Did some adjustment on some rotors, and also did had to work on one of the molds. If you ever come out, you see the molds turn the sludge over, which I'll show you what it does here shortly. On the collections, we flushed a little over 13,000 feet, 66,500 feet for the year. We completed 25%, which is our contract requirement for the first year, and we completed that in the month of April. We inspected 30 more manholes, and so year to date, roughly 160 manholes have been inspected, and we continue to work on our flushing our hot spots, and I'll show you what comes out of those flushes here in just a second. On the lab side, we still continue to do very well on our wastewater monitoring. Kevin, I added here for you on the percent removal, it says 85 minimum. That's the lowest number, so anything above that, we're in good shape. And on the maintenance side, we've completed over roughly 207 work orders, 150 man hours. We had 18 call outs. We did have one emergency call out in April. We had a small SSO over at the Lakes lift station. We less than 200 gallons popped out of the manhole, but we got it corrected, cleaned up, and there was no major issue there. Last month, Veolia participated in the first annual Earth Day with the town down at the park here. And you should have received in your little packet from Veolia several little items. And on those items during the Earth Day, we gave out, and this is a coloring book that.
No crayons?
We gave out. I didn't give you no crayons.
Oh,
right.
That's something. I'm about to enter later. I can get them.
It talks about water conservation. I had several teachers in the community from both elementary schools come up, and we have scheduled some tours next year. They would like to do some tours of the wastewater and water facilities, and we'll continue to hand these out. These are also over here at the office for the community to pick up. Also, this little flyer that we gave out talks about how to save water, how to conserve water. So we handed these out. All this material is over here for the public. This also is about being water wise. Same information. That black case I bought in is a huge banner that Veolia is willing to donate to the community here to put up in here if they are willing to do so. It just talks about how to conserve water, things you can do personally at home. And this little nifty card here, if you go to this website called growingblue.com, it tells you about water, footprint up to year 2050, and it shows the whole United States and the world. You can click on each state. It shows how much water each state uses by community. You can either hit on the Sacramento area, and it talks about how much water we use in this area.
That's cool.
And where we'll be at in the year 2050, and there's different things. It's a pretty cool website, so that's what these cards talk about. And nifty little gadget we also handed out was, which I don't think I gave the board one of these, but they're over here, is a little colorful brochure of the water cycle and how water, what happens to the water when it rains, how it runs down, gets back into the river, how it evaporates, and how we continue to recycle over and over. So these were some of the things we handed out during Earth Day, and then like I said, it was several teachers that were very pleased with it and are in their school program.
Excellent.
And the items that Rick was talking about, this first one here, this is our biosolids. I'll show you around. This is what we remove out of the water from our wastewater plant. After we were done with it, we waste it. It goes through a belt press. We squeeze the water out of it. We put it in those solar dryers out there, which that mold I talked about turns it over and over until it gets to around 95-90% dry. Then it's used for fertilizer out in the back field there. And then, but this is what it looks like. It's a Class A product, which means it's good for the public use. It's excellent topsoil, excellent fertilizer, and that's the product that we get from our end wastewater.
Kevin, you got any papers?
So we had that as a demonstration.
That's the scare today. I got rid of them all.
And this right here, I'll show you this. This is dried, hard, phosphate grease that are in the sewer lines. When I showed you those pictures last month, those white things you see in the grease build up. This is what it looks like. It just builds up over time, and as we continue to flush and clean and flush, we continue to move this type of product.
That's unbelievable how calcified that is.
You can't smoke that, Kevin.
You don't need your papers.
No, you could.
Yeah, I'm going to work. I'm big enough bong again. Oh, thank you.
That's
Dr. Graves.
Are we at full strength?
We're at full
That's
strength.
Great. Good job. 100%.
Awesome.
Good job.
Do you have a barbecue or something coming up?
Next week, we're going to celebrate our 1 year partnership. And have a nice little cookout there in the front of the plant, too. And just to celebrate all the accomplishments we had this past year and gear up for the next year.
What day are you doing?
Next Thursday. 24.
Just briefly, any update on some capital improvement projects that are active right now?
Virgil's going to give that update.
All right.
Kevin, you got something?
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for noticing. This had been a problem in the past, and I'm sure it's not, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. On our maintenance, our preventive and corrective work orders?
Yes.
Are they being maintained regularly and monthly? Do we have a backlog? Where do we stand on those?
We do have a small backlog, but not like it used to be.
What? How many is small?
Oh, the last time I seen was around 100.
Okay.
Backlog, but our CM, our critical PMs, is down to less than 60.
Okay.
We used to have like 300 of the critical maintenance, but we're down to 60.
Okay.
On those, so we are hammering them out. Does take some time, but the backlog is not like it used to be.
Thank you.
And those are being scheduled for future maintenance. After we've handled those and reduced that log, we're going to go back and monitor those.
Everything is put into the database, either monthly or weekly or daily, quarterly. And after it's been repaired or replaced, a new PM is created for it, so it doesn't get back into the shape it was.
All right.
I just want to say thank you for helping Director Graves so he can read the chart better.
You're welcome.
Thank
Anything
you.
I can do to help.
Hey, thanks again for the participation there, too. That was good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie.
I'm going to, real briefly, while Virgil's coming up, he's going to give you an update on the dewatering project as well as our incident we had earlier in the week. But the board is aware that we have the sewer system management plan, the SSMP, that we've been discussing. We are working towards our deadline of June the 8th, I believe, or 10th. I don't recall the exact date. But it is, the document is essentially complete. We're going through the final drafts and revisions right now, and we will bring it to the board at the next meeting. Or just a receive and file before we go ahead and send it off to the board, so that the board can see what goes into this. So if you have any questions between now and then, just let me know.
Ready?
You're on. Yep. Showtime.
Awesome. Let's start off with our theft that we had last week, Wednesday morning. Last week Wednesday, what I did is I peeled off a couple of shots off of our video. At 4:57 in the morning, this pickup truck shows up in our gate
at plant number two. It looks like a truck I think one of our board members drives, but I just won't say who, but...
That's not gray, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's a second shot.
You're right.
Showing the gentleman there with his bolt cutters cutting our lock off at the front gate. It's interesting, when he pulled in that driveway, he turned on his highlights. When you open that passenger door, how the dorm, the dorm, that dome light comes on, the guy inside the truck turned it off real quick. You could see it on for a second, then go off on the video.
So you're saying he knew that the cameras were on him?
Oh, well, that, or he didn't want anybody to see his face. The next shot, they were nice enough, after they loaded all their gear, less than 6 minutes, they went straight back to where our construction site is. There's a construction trailer back there, and they loaded up this pickup truck, and the tailgate's down. This gentleman was nice enough to close the gate for us. And then he was tying down his stuff. He even took one of our safety cones, is up on the top there, and he took a reel of copper, number two copper wires, really used for grounding on our project back there. I think overall was about $12,000, $13,000 worth of between material and tools that they took, less than 6 minutes. And they left. They came in from Stockton and they headed back that
inside
way.
Job, or if they knew what they were going after?
Yeah, I suspect that. They what we can't figure out is the construction trailer is a like a storage bin, and they have a really steel compartment. I mean, you really have to stick your hand inside there to unlock the lock. I don't know how, you know, they use bolt cutters on ours. I don't know how they got a pair of bolt cutters in there to cut it. So my assumption, it's just my assumption, somebody had a key, they took the lock and they took our lock. They didn't leave any evidence, they just took everything.
Might have been an ex-employee, could have been...
Correct.
How were these pictures taken?
Pardon me?
How did you acquire these pictures?
I just stripped them off of our video camera.
What's the purpose of the video cameras if we can't get any resolution out of them?
Well, the idea is, even if you saw the guy, you probably couldn't identify the guy anyway.
Since this took place, we discussed yesterday about looking at a camera system that would provide color HD, color digital images that would be focused closer on the gate. So it would be there as a permanent view towards that location, because this camera right here rotates.
So what are we doing to prevent this type of thing happening?
I don't know.
From now on.
I don't know how we would do that.
Can we park a truck in front of it somehow and then close the gate, or so they can't get in and out?
We've had them cut into the fence at another spot and come in that way.
But that would be a little bit harder than cutting one lock.
Well, they've, in the past, to the right or to the left of that gate is an electric chain. Mm-hmm. They cut a hole in there, took the chain off, then rolled the gate back.
It seems like we need better camera system and permanently monitoring that, and the higher resolution. I know the technology's out there to pick off the license plate. We can't even catch
that. That has no license plate on that truck.
I can't even tell what color hair the guy's got.
It's
looks gray to me.
It has an opening in the where the man's knee is, the opening where the license plate is. It's wide open. They took the plates off.
So you're saying even if we put, like, where the gate is, you know, like in the school districts where they have the big bars that come shut so they can't get in, you're saying they still will find a way to drive a truck somewhere else?
Oh, I don't know about that part of it, but we have had access. They mainly can only, that's the only way to access the facility.
So what about those big bull bars that come, you know, with the truck? I mean, that's got that lock on it, too. We have that steel, you can't cut it with the bolt cutters.
I don't know about that part.
I do.
I see pipe fence, pipe gate.
The bridge, if you go across the bridge and don't pay the toll, their cameras, any bridge, their cameras are way up there, and they know to get your face, to get your car, your license plate. They get a picture of you sitting there without any problem.
They have multiple cameras.
But this is, in where this is sitting, there's no reason why we couldn't have something that comes down I mean, I'd invite him to come in that way. I'd make it, that's the only easiest way to get in, and get a camera where you can get a picture of him, where you can see him.
And we could charge Viola a toll every time they come through, and that'll pay for the camera.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see that's obviously a 90s Chevy truck.
I want to point out that even though it's a gray vehicle without a license plate, it is not a Tahoe. I just want to make that point.
That looks like Kevin.
So the sheriff's still investigating?
Yes.
Okay.
This is your dewatering project we'll start on. This is a, what we have to do is do a tie-in at one of our existing spots there, plant number two. So we're just opening, they do a pothole to look at what's there. Is there truly any pipes, any excess pipes in that area? So that's what that is. This is the construction trailer, and you can see that brown thing there at the end of the trailer that...
It doesn't show on the TV.
Oh, all right. Anyway, the little box there where the lock was, where they broke into and took some of the equipment. Neither them or us have had a break-in in quite a while. So this is the asphalt and the dirt that they have taken removed from that site. They had to, if you look towards the right, where that asphalt pile is, straight ahead, the dark brown colors, the peat soil that we have, you had to go down about 3 feet until you reach clay soil, remove all that, then build it up back with clay to a certain level. I think they had to add 20 inches of clay and that add 18 inches of base rock. This is the area where we're going to put our concrete slab at. You can see the color in the clay versus the peat, the darker color. That's the peat that they're removing. That's more peat there that they're removing. It's just a little darker because of the wet.
Well, if you scrape it out again, then it's repeat.
Or three-peat.
It's repeat if you scrape it out twice.
This is another location where we have to do another tie-in. We're just showing the water, groundwater built up in that area, so they'll have to dewater that.
Is that over there between the two ponds?
Yes. This little brown strip down here caused us a big concern. Is it looks like a trench. We got all the way down to clay soil, and we see this dark stripe going down the length of our thing there.
Yes.
This used to be farmland before the before the wastewater plant was ever built, and we never did anything at this section prior to the farmland or prior to today. And we saw that dark strip there, and we felt, it looks like a trench. What we don't know is what kind of a trench it is, what's in it, and are we going to put a concrete slab over something that's going to cause us a problem down the road? So then we made a decision to, because the darkness there is peat soil, we're going to span concrete over it. Can we span concrete over without an issue of it cracking at a later date?
Right.
So talking with our geotechs, they said, go ahead and take out, I think it was a foot of that peat soil, 2 feet actually. Take that out and then backfill it with clay soil so it'll match up with this here. What happened is we brought in the backhoe and it was only 6 inches deep. Mm-hmm. And so the geotech says, well, then that's fine. Just leave it and you just bridge over it, what they call bridge over it. But you can see that straight line. So whoever farmed that, did that trench, they had a hell of a machine making it that straight. Just some of the tractors that out there, some of them call it iron.
Not quite that straight.
This is at our well number 5. This is some of the specialized equipment that we're doing testing there at well number 5. And this is some of the, again, the analyze. What we're doing is we're putting dye in there and we're looking at, is that dye changing X amount of feet below? Is it still 5 parts per million or whatever it might be that we're looking for? We're trying to see, when you're going down the well 300 to 400 feet deep, you're trying to see during the, somewhere along that length, is there a hole in the casing that groundwater or another aquifer is coming in and is changing that color of that dye, diluting it per se. just some more. That purple line is the dye that we're pushing in. I went back to, sorry, mixed my pictures up. This is back to the dewatering back again. This is showing some of the piping that we had put on the ground before you start to do your concrete work. This is some of the electrical conduits that we put in, or they put in. We had to put a bridge plate over there so we can bring our biosolids truck out every day. This is the spaghetti of conduits, electrical conduits underground before you put your pour your concrete. A lot of it is power, and a lot of it is instrument, meaning it's a low voltage going through there, so you have to keep them separated.
Is that all galvanized?
No, it's all plastic.
All PVC? Really?
This I took yesterday, and so this is showing the they're done. They finished up today, but this is all the conduits that's underneath the slab. Parts that are sticking up is what's going to be above the slab. They make it a little higher, and then we come back later and we cut off what we don't need. The main, the 4-inch conduits that you see pretty much in the front there, that's where your main electrical panel is going to be at. Well, five, I used another camera. It's my cell phone camera, and I apologize. I just didn't know how to link it onto here yet. But pulling up the well itself, we wound up pulling the whole pump itself. The pump and the casing, or the column pipe, roughly is around 17,000 pounds. A couple of years ago, when we pulled that, the crane truck was shaking a little bit, pulling that weight in. So we suggested to them that they bring a bigger rig. We just don't have the room there. So what, in order to put on a crane, if you know, they have stabilizers that go out. So what we had to do is take part of the fence out over there so the stabilizer can go out onto the property. Sorry, I didn't mean to answer.
That's okay, no, you're good.
So stabilizer, the crane backs up as close as can be, and we want that crane boom to be as straight up as we can, lifting 17,000 pounds one time coming up, taking a 10-foot section off every time, pulling it up some more, taking another 10-foot, and so forth and so forth. You want that crane to go over it, either in a storage yard or in the home, a couple of homes to the right. So,
Especially the homes.
Yeah. The guy had a hell of a nice camper, and he had a lot of toys there, and I'm sure if that crane boom went over, it would have done a number of things.
Ruined his weekend, for sure.
We have to take the roof off the building, but that's really light. And then you pull out your items one by one. And then we put the well back together and we brought it online yesterday. So it's up.
And the results are
inconclusive.
Of course.
That's what the results are, water.
Salinity study, we're starting next week, 66 homes. This is the area that we plan to do. This is a village is for the lakes, the bottom homes there, very close to what they call Fallman Boulevard. We have the total homes up on the top and a little bit to the top right there. There's four homes there. It's a total of 66 homes. They all feed one sewage lift station, and so it makes it a lot easier to kind of control the flows going in. So what we'll be doing starting Monday is taking water samples from our water treatment plants, looking at what is the salinity in there, and there's salinity there primarily from the boron that's coming in. We're taking samples at the front of those homes, not every single one, but randomly. We're doing six of them per day randomly, and we're looking to see at their faucet in the front yard, what is that salinity level then? Then we go to the sewage lift station that's there, pull that sample out, see what that sample is. Then we're going to a couple in the sewer plant, pulling some samples, and the last one will be the UV. After we have done all the treatment process, see what the salinity level is then. We're developing a baseline for the first week. Starting on the 3-day Memorial weekend, we are asking these homeowners to turn off their water softeners. It's surprisingly, our surprise is there's probably a good 15 to 20 of them out of 66 that do not have water softener in them. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. But the ones that do have them, we did inspect them, and a lot of them are using salt. They're all but one guy is using salt. And out of the 66 homes, two of the people do not want to participate in this plan. They don't believe in government. They don't like to do what government tells them to do. And so they just said, I won't tell you what the guy told me.
But how.
Anyway, so we're starting this Monday. It'll go on for 2 weeks. And then after that, probably about a good week, 2 weeks after it's completed, we'll have some preliminary numbers, and I'll share that with you. That's all I have, unless you have any questions related to salinity, dewatering. Our belt press arrives on Monday,
okay.
The one we ordered, that would go on that concrete pad primarily. So that's it.
All right. All right, thank you very much, Virgil.
Thanks, Bert.
Great information.
I have nothing to stop it.
Perfect. I have nothing.
Write that down.
Perfect.
Oh, wait a minute. No.
Oops.
All right, counsel.
I do have one thing. I'd like to introduce to you the summer intern that has just joined us from UC Davis, Salwa Haddad. So anyway, she's getting experience in the real world of law is throughout the summer. And
what was that chuckle?
Just the real world of law.
Yeah, she's in the right place.
She's come out of the ivory tower for 3 months, and she'll go back and tell them the horror story.
Well, welcome. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. Committee updates. We did that, all right?
Yeah, we did that one.
Our correspondence, that's good. Any comments on that? No. Public records requests, anything? Seems like public requests are down this year. Yeah. All right, any future agenda items? Director Simon, please.
I have a couple. Okay, we have definitely gone on long enough waiting for an answer on hookup fees, the increase in hookup fees.
Yes.
It's been months. We're going to be June as our next meeting. Can we have this on the agenda, please?
I can bring it back for an update. I talked to them the other day, and they are, as he told me, they are dropping the data into the hopper.
Can you ask them to have it ready by they got 3 weeks for the next meeting? I'm sure they have that done.
I'll see what I can do.
The second item I would like, we've also gone far enough with this. It's time for a report on the large water users.
Yes.
And I mean a comprehensive one, please. Who's paying, who isn't, who owes us what? Please.
We will be sending out invoices to those folks this week.
What's taken? That's been weeks ago. What's taken?
This is not an agenda item.
Okay, yeah. All right, please put this on the agenda. Let's discuss it the next day. It's time to move this forward.
All right. Director Tetra, you have anything?
No.
Okay.
Any other? No.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else to add on the agenda. Looks like we had a full meeting tonight. At this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, of course you're right.